Welcome to Design Biz Survival Guide, a podcast about life and business for interior design professionals. My name is Rick Campos, and this podcast is my response to a design community eager to support, share, and inspire one another. We all know that some things simply cannot be taught in a classroom. I believe that our number one resource for information and inspiration is our peers. Join me as I sit down with industry professionals from across the country to discuss their secret to survival in the business of design. This podcast episode is sponsored by Perch, the design community's premier resource for appliances, decorative plumbing, and outdoor brands. Perch is dedicated to quality, service, and a heightened showroom experience, making them the preferred choice among architects, builders, and designers just like you. With locations in Los Angeles, Orange County, Palm Springs, and San Diego, their interactive showroom experience must be seen to believe. Fully functional displays and a demo kitchen featuring the industry's top brands provides the ultimate test drive for design enthusiasts. As a trade professional, you're eligible for their exclusive rewards program, Perch Premier, where you'll earn credits for every purchase of appliances, plumbing, hardware, and outdoor kitchens. This program is loaded with perks and benefits, so sign up today. Tell them you heard about Perch Premier on Design Biz Survival Guide. Now on with the show. Today, we welcome Ronica Clifton of RJ Clifton Designs out of Houston, Texas, to the podcast. In this episode, we discuss Ronica's detour from healthcare to interior design and her continued passion for improving the quality of people's lives. We also talk about the need for mentorship within the design community and how her program, The Educated Designer, provides an insider perspective of the business of design and is helping emerging design professionals build stronger and more profitable businesses. Let's get started. Well, Ronica, welcome to the podcast. I'm so excited to have you, and I'm so excited to share you with our listeners.
Thank you for having me. This is going to be good.
This is going to be good. Are you ready?
I am.
Great. Well, I always like to start by having you talk a little bit about yourself. I'd like for you to introduce yourself to our listeners, because I like for them to hear what you want us to know. So what can you tell me about Ronica Clifton?
Wow. What about Ronica? How long do we have? Well, I am 41, soon to be 42. I have a birthday coming up. I am a native Houstonian, and I have found my way into this business of interior design because I love people. I started out as a healthcare professional student, and from the age of like 5, I always thought that I was going to be in the healthcare profession. So I studied it all through high school, studied it through college. And then as I was working my way through college with part-time jobs in fashion retail, my sister just noticed this potential in me. And she was like, she's always pushing me further. She's 13 years older than me. And so she was like, what do you think about doing interior decorating? And I was like, I don't know. And ever since then, it has brought this burning passion of creativity and support of building functional and better lives for people, mostly residential, but it's like I found this passion that not only benefits them, but me. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's been my calling to help people. So I love that I'm in an industry that helps so many people. And I just love what I do. In my spare time, I love to socialize, which is why this pandemic doesn't work for me. Yeah. I'm missing the connections of people. I'm missing seeing people, hugging and touching them. But I do love to socialize with friends and family whenever I can. And I'm a foodie, so I'm in the right spot. I'm in Houston, and we love our food. So I'm big on enjoying a good meal, food, and laughter. Yeah.
Nice. I like that. It's interesting to hear that you have a healthcare background. And, not a lot of people, not a lot of design professionals talk about how interior design truly helps people. It does a lot of things.
And sometimes that real daily impact kind of takes a back seat to the glitz and the glamour, you know what I mean? But you're in it for the right reasons, because it really does have an impact on the quality of people's lives and how they live.
It absolutely does. And, you know, not just the assuming person, you know, if you're talking about a family of four and you have the mom, which is probably the person who I received the phone call from, but it's the husband who, you know, in the first consultation, he's like, oh, you know, whatever, whatever. And then by the reveal, he's like gobsmacked, you know, like that does everything for me. I mean, if I can win over a husband and he, you know, falls in love with a bedroom or a space that he didn't think he would care about, that just sends chills down my body. And I just know that I've done my job and I've done a good job. So yeah, I love that this industry really does change lives.
For sure. For sure. So tell us a little bit about your business. How big is your team? What's your typical project? Like, what's your sweet spot in the industry?
So RJ Clifton Designs is primarily a one-woman show. I do run most of the business by myself, with contracting out pretty much everything. I'm almost to tears now because I had an intern that was transferring over to a full-time associate that had to move, and I just lost her months ago. So I'm kind of like wandering around throughout the days, like, where am I? What am I doing? Like most designers know, you know, the pandemic has sent a crazy amount of business our way. So it's been doable to run it by myself, you know, along with the contract team. But it's a one-woman show, and we do hire out a great, great team of independent contractors to do everything for us, from our remodels to our CAD drawings to our renderings. So we get it done. Our sweet spot, I would say the thing that most people tell us is our sweet spot is our love of color and how we incorporate color and texture so well into palettes that, you know, people sometimes are afraid, you know, they'll call me and say, you know, I want color. And then they'll say, no, but I don't like too much color. So it's just my way of being able to balance it in a home that doesn't feel overwhelming, that, you know, even if it is overwhelming, it's pleasing to the eye. So I would say that I can now own that after, you know, 14 years of decorating and designing, that we have a sweet spot for infusing color in your life.
Yes. And it is so beautifully reflected on your website. Clearly your clients cannot be afraid of color. If they're going to work with you, they have to embrace color and impact, which I think makes for such beautiful design. So I would say you definitely have that niche cornered for sure.
Thank you.
I like the fact that you also rely on outsourcing, and that's been a big buzzword in the design community. And I think, you know, a few years ago, not a lot of designers were talking about it, but we've all been doing it for a very long time. And now it's really kind of in the forefront of this conversation, of this dialogue amongst designers, to not be afraid to outsource things. You're not going to lose control of your project, of your creativity, because you have someone else doing the CAD work, or you have someone else, you know, dialing in the specification packets and things like that. Would you agree with that?
I absolutely agree with that. You know, it takes a lot to run a business, to A, run a business, and B, run a profitable business. And what I learned a while back is that I could do everything myself, but it means staying up, you know, to 3, 4, 5 in the morning, and then trying to grab a couple of hours of sleep to wake up for 8 o'clock when the world opens. And it just wasn't working. It wasn't beneficial to how my business was running, and it wasn't creating a profitable business. And that's the goal. I think every designer, emerging designer, even a designer who is a veteran who may not be hitting the profits that they want to hit, that should be the goal, to have a profitable business. And when I sat back and looked at that, and I looked at my social circle of so many talented design professionals, I was like, I'm crazy not to support a a fellow friend or colleague who decided that they didn't want to do interior design and that they wanted to just mainly do CAD. I'd be crazy not to support them because it's helping me and it's helping them. So that's just really how it started. Literally, I had a colleague who decided not to do residential interior design anymore. And she approached me and said, hey, I want to be a liaison to designers. She opened a tile store. And so she does all of my CAD drawings, all of my field measurements. And when I tell you, Rick, it's the biggest weight off my shoulder. And so I'm not shy about talking about it because I mentor so many design mentees that are trying to get into this industry. And I don't want to give them a false perspective of the workload that goes into this. You know, I tell them all the time, this business is 80% business, 20% design. So you have that passion, but once you get into the business model of it, you're going to spend more time behind a computer looking at paperwork and all of those logistical parts of it more than you really get to do the fun stuff, the quote unquote fun stuff. So having a great support system is really necessary.
I couldn't agree more with that statement. And I think another benefit to working with contractors is they get us. Like you just said, you know, they're one of us. Oftentimes they are designers. They went to school just like we did. And maybe they decided that they don't want to run their own business or they don't want to do business the way that we do it, but they still want to stay engaged in the design community and provide services to fellow designers. I mean, it's so much nicer to speak to someone who speaks your language. You know what I mean? You don't have to really explain too much to them. They know what it takes and they get the job done.
That's right. Yeah.
Ronica, did you go to design school?
I did. I went to the best of the best of the best. Well, I went to the Art Institute of Houston. I did. And I don't know if you had this question, but while we're on the subject of school, I'll just say that I'm pro school. You know, I have a lot of colleagues. I've talked to a lot of interior designers here locally and other places and we've had this conversation, you know, oh, you can be a successful designer without going to school, or, oh, you need to go to school, or, oh, you need to be registered. Number one, I say, do what works for you. You know, everyone is different. Everyone learns differently. But when I mentor incoming, you know, people looking into this industry, I do suggest school to them because it's so much of a science that goes into this industry and what we do. And I really look at this industry parallel to the healthcare field. You know, you can't just walk into a hospital and say, okay, I'm going to work on you now. I'm going to operate on you now. You know, you can't just walk into someone's home and say, okay, I'm going to remodel this for you now. And you don't know many of the basic things that go into construction. So yeah, I'm team school.
Nice. That's a great analogy. I use the analogy all the time, but the other way around when clients want something for less. And I say, you know, if you were going to get a surgery or if you were going to enter a doctor's office, would you ask for the cheapest doctor on site or would you want the most expensive doctor available to you? So that's a great analogy.
I like it.
Using it the other way around like you just did because yeah. It's brilliant.
Thank you.
So you've mentioned your mentorship program, and I would love to talk about that a little bit. You have a program called the Educated Designer, and it's a mentorship program. And that's what really caught my attention. In the interest of full disclosure, I got so excited that I think I texted you, instant messaged you, and emailed you simultaneously after I saw that post. And then realized that, you know, my approach was a little heavy and I hope that you would actually respond to me. And I'm so glad that you did.
You know what, Rick? I loved it. I think I saw the email flash through first. I didn't have time to stop and read it. And then I think I saw the IG message, like, you know, it said someone requested a message to you. And so I read it and I said, okay. And then I noticed the name. I said, oh, that's the email. And then I saw the text. But it really did make me smile. I love that because when I'm excited or when I'm gunning to speak with someone, I kind of do the same thing. So No worries.
Thank you.
No worries at all. But yes, I recently launched the Educated Designer. You know, it was a long time coming. I started out this journey of mentorship when I joined, I joined ASID as a student member when I was at the Art Institute. And that membership transferred over, of course, when I graduated. And one of the first things that I did, I started working on committees. And I worked on the Student Affairs Committee first as a volunteer and then as a co-chair and then as a chair. And I loved going to the local schools, talking to students. And from that, a lot of students, you know, I'm just me. So I can only be me. And a lot of students were drawn to that. And they, you know, subsequently would sometimes come to me and say, you know, hi, Ms. Ronica, is there any way that we can have some one-on-one time with you separately? And I was always, you know, happy to accommodate them. And then I started a group for Black interior designers here in Houston called Creative Conversations. And that's essentially what the group was. It was one big, you know, mentorship, socializing group where we would meet bi-monthly. And I would just be there for them to be able to answer questions, to discuss any concerns that they had about getting into this industry. And, you know, it turned into that I was literally getting people saying to me, can you start a mentorship program? We'll pay for it. And I was like, but I'm giving you information. You know, you can call and talk to me. And, you know, they were like, but no, we need something a little bit more structured. Can you do it? And after about the fifth or sixth person either DMing me or, you know, texting me and asking me that, I said, well, maybe I should do it. So finally, you know, it kind of just hit me over the head one day. And it was actually supposed to be launched somewhere along 2020. Mm-hmm. But within COVID, within caring for my agent in place mom and, you know, the world crumbling around us, I really didn't launch it. And then I didn't go anywhere for New Year's Eve. And so I got together with my longtime friend and colleague and business partner. And I said, on New Year's Eve, as I'm in my pajamas, I said, let's do it. Help me. And so because we had been brainstorming all of 2020, we literally just had to put the graphics together. So we stayed up to 4 a.m. putting the graphics together, preparing for January 4th launch. And it has been the most exhilarating process to have. I think I had 9 sessions booked within 24 hours.
That's amazing.
And my heart just fluttered because I couldn't, I mean, I knew people had asked for it and there was a demand for it, but in my mind, I'm thinking it's just little old me. It's just Ronica. There's tons of designers out there who you know, you could reach out to and who you look up to. And to know that so many are listening and watching, it's just the most humbling thing ever.
Yeah, not everyone is cut out for it. Either you are a teacher or you're not. And when you are, I feel like you and I are, I feel like we have a social obligation to the people that we surround ourselves with and to an industry that inspires us to kind of pay it forward in that regard. And it's amazing to me that there is a big demand out there. And, you know, you and I are not the only people doing it. There's a lot of designers that are doing it, and I think it's great. And just like design, yeah. I embrace community over competition, and the more designers that do it, the better. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I think it's so beneficial. There's so many people, you know, for so many reasons, there's so many faux pas to this industry and so many thoughts about how it's run and what's done. And one of the biggest things that I educate people on, the difference between decorating and design and the many different avenues that you can get into with this industry. Mm-hmm. So like you said, I think it's absolutely important for us to pay it forward. You know, I'm not going to be designing for the rest of my life. I have a retirement age and I plan to stick to it, but there will be homes that need to be beautified and places that need our touch, our help. And so it absolutely benefits me to help to rear the designers coming under me, the emerging designers coming behind me, so that we can continue great design. You know, I highly, highly believe that everyone is entitled to great design, and it's important that we be able to nurture those students coming behind us so that they can offer that.
And as a design professional, you have and will have even more decades of experience and knowledge. And to just kind of shut that off, it just doesn't make sense to me. And I'm sure it doesn't make sense to you. Most creatives can't just turn it off. So this is such a great platform to continue to, you know, deliver and share information and be engaged in an industry that you're passionate about.
Yeah. And I love people. I do. I love people.
So, Ronica, if I was to say, hey, I'm on board for this membership program, mentorship program, where does it start? What is my first meeting with you like? Is there an order that you go in? Are there specific topics that you cover in an order that kind of makes sense for a designer who is just getting started?
So what I've done is I've taken the years of, I call it now, you know, strategic research that I have from speaking with so many students and, you know, emerging designers over the years. And I've broken that down to three categories. So the first category is, where do I start? And I foresee that being for people who don't know anything about the industry, but, you know, they just have a passion for design or decorating. Maybe they say that, you know, I've been changing around my room since I was a little girl, or, you know, I've been helping friends and family, but I don't know what this industry is. I don't know where to start. So that conversation is some of my top opinions, but some of my top tangible actions that they can do to get a footing in this industry. Mm-hmm. So, you know, starting your research, continue to do pro bono work. Don't jump into making this a business until you have an understanding of what the industry is. Find out if you want to go to school or if you want to self-educate yourself. So that's what that 1 hour session looks like. The second one is the business of design. So maybe you have already gotten into it. You're in your first 1 to 5 years of your decorating or design business, but you're stuck. Mm-hmm. And you probably went into it blindly. And so you need a refresher or you need some help. A lot of those people are also transferring out of a 9 to 5 mm-hmm. or a different trade that they've been running. So they now want to get into this industry. And although they may know the business side of business, they don't know the business side of the interior design profession. So that hour, you know, we discuss how to make that transfer, you know, looking over their business model to see how it runs. Is it running effectively? Is it profitable? And sharing some of my contracts and forms just to make sure that they're on the right path. The third session that you can book is the accountability, visibility, and marketing one. That one was important to me because when I got into interior design as a person of color, I was a little nervous. I was introverted on top of being a person of color, and I just wasn't sure how I was going to fit into the Houston market of the industry. And when I did get into it, it was like this superpower. I all of a sudden became very extroverted. And, you know, it was like I could talk to anybody. I can go to any event by myself. And, you know, I had friends and colleagues who would never show up. They felt uncomfortable. They never felt like they could fit in. And so I wanted to share just the things that I empowered myself with over the years to say, you can do this and you have to hold yourself accountable to doing it if you want to propel your career. You can't say you want to be a top designer and stay at home. You know, so this is not this type of industry. I look at this industry like the fashion industry. You kind of got to get out and show your fashion. You kind of got to get out and show your face in this industry. So that's a conversation of, okay, how do we change the narrative? How do we change your mindset so you understand that you can be the greatest interior designer on paper? But if no one knows you, sometimes it's a little harder to maneuver in this industry. So we talk about different ways to market yourself, to, you know, in a pre-COVID world to socialize and to get to know vendors and editors of magazines and colleagues in different areas and so forth and so on.
Yeah, that is super, super important. I spend a lot of time talking about that with students at my design school, Interior Designers Institute in Southern California. We talk about visibility and networking and things like that for the very same reason, because it's really important. I mean, as interior designers, we become our own salesperson. We become our best marketing person. We become our own PR person, you know, so you have to embrace the importance of getting out there and connecting with the community, because those people are your resources and those people are your clients.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, I love the sound of this program, and I couldn't wait to get you on the podcast to share it, because I just think it's going to be so valuable to so many design professionals. And don't be surprised if you get design professionals who have been in business for a while that just kind of need a refresher on this, because I've been surprised in doing consulting myself, how many design professionals who have been in the business for a good long time just kind of overlooked a lot of the basics and said for years, I'll come back to that. And so all of a sudden, I'll develop a program that I think is really going to attract students and emerging design professionals. And it turns out I have, you know, these colleagues of mine who are like, you know, I really need to dig into that. Can we work together? It's so surprising, but it's also refreshing as well.
Yeah, I would welcome that with open arms. You know, I know I've spoken with some veteran professionals before at social events, and, you know, they'll say things like, how do you do that Instagram, or, you know, who's doing your CAD, or who's doing your renderings? And, you know, the world has changed. The digital world has changed so much. So I would absolutely welcome that, because I could understand how they would be totally overwhelmed with all of the options out there that we have now.
Completely, completely. Well, Ronica, you know, I have three signature questions that every designer has to answer. And I would like to start by asking you, what would you say is your secret to survival in the business of design?
My secret to survival in the business of design is my faith. I have a strong faith in God that He will supply all of my needs. This business can be so up and down. You'll be on the peak of a mountain and then in a valley the next day. Mm-hmm. And once I got control of understanding where my faith should lie, not in this business, but in God, that's when I really was able to conquer this industry. I understand that for every five no's, there'll be an amazing yes. So, you know, I just get up every morning thanking God that I'm even able to do this full time, work for myself. And with that, I just continuously stay gracious for whatever, you know, opportunity that He brings my way. This opportunity, you know, whatever may come, I just started to think about it on a day-to-day basis and not really just fret about, you know, next month or 6 months down the line, but taking it day by day and using my faith has been a game changer for me.
Beautiful answer. Beautiful answer. It's such a blessing to do what we love to do every single day of our lives. It really is.
Yeah.
What would you say is the one thing you know now that you wish you knew then when you started it all?
Oh boy. So the one thing I know now, that anything is possible, I would say. That when I first started, I couldn't see how I could really make it in this industry. I wasn't the stellar student. I was coming, this is my third career, and I just didn't understand how I could do this with not having, you know, some of the skill sets that I saw a lot of the students having in school. And, you know, I told a story to one of my student sessions the other day that I was in a senior class and I was working on a final portfolio. And quite honestly, I was kind of picking from students around me and pulling from them and using their aesthetic and kind of putting together one of my own. And so my instructor came behind me and said, you know, this project doesn't feel like you. I don't see you anywhere in this. And I was like, yeah, because I don't know who I am. Duh. And she literally just laid out, she said, Ronica, your use of color and texture and pattern is unparalleled. I haven't seen it from anyone in this class. Why aren't you relying on that? And I was like, I don't know. You see that? And although I knew I loved those things, I had no idea I could do anything with that. And now fast forward to me now to have people calling to say, I love your color, your use of color, pattern, and texture. I need that in my life. It's like the most rewarding thing ever. So what I didn't know then was that have confidence in where you are. Just understanding and knowing and loving you, not being in anyone else's lane, just staying in my lane and relying on the gifts and the talents that I have. And that's enough. You know, I don't need to pursue someone else's lane, someone else's gift and talent. What I have is enough to sustain.
Such great advice. Such great advice. I mean, we've already talked about how you pay it forward in the design community, but you know, maybe if there's another way that you want to share, but I always ask designers how they pay it forward in the design community and what that means to you.
Wow. I'll give you my short-term goals and my long-term goals for paying it forward. Volunteerism is something that I've done all of my adult life, from a candy striper in the hospitals all the way to working with an organization here in Houston called the Houston Furniture Bank, where we go in and do one-day makeovers for people who are just receiving new housing. So paying it forward is a huge part. That's another part that drives me. Short term, I want to continue to grow my mentorship program and also Creative Conversations, where we educate, empower, and network with design professionals. And, you know, with that, I want to be able to continue my annual design symposium that we produce through Creative Conversations. So this is an opportunity for professionals to come together, to get to know each other, to be able to build connections and network and learn from vendors, from different design professionals, because I don't know everything. I don't claim to know everything. But what I do know is that when you rely on great partnerships, you can do so much and you can rule the world. So that's short term. Long term, what I want to be able to do through my company or through a nonprofit part of my company is to go into elderly homes and be able to remodel their homes for free. There's so many elderly that live in disparaging accommodation. And, you know, either they don't have family to help them, they don't know how to gain resources to help them. So I would love to be able to have an organization that provides free remodel construction work for the elderly.
Ronica, you have captured my heart. Ronica, it's been an absolute pleasure. Please share with the listeners what your website is and how we can find you on Instagram, because that seems to be the two best ways that our industry learn about fellow designers.
Yeah. So the website is rjcliftondesigns.com, and you can find me on Instagram at rjcliftondesignsllc.
Perfect. And I'll put a link in the description in the show as well to your website so everyone can have a look.
Thank you.
Well, thanks so much for being on. I appreciate it.
Yeah, this has been fun. Thank you for messaging me. I love the opportunity to network. Now I feel like I have a new connection and a new friend. So thank you.
You certainly
and,
do.
I'm truly inspired for what you're doing with this podcast, and I can't wait to share it with my colleagues and my friends and family.
Thanks. I can't wait to share it either. Thanks so much. Have a great one.
Thank you.
Well, guys, I'm officially obsessed with Ronica, and she's formally attained BFF status. She's a girl after my own heart, and she has reinforced my intention to visit Texas ASAP. Ronica and all of the other great designers I've connected with from Texas, like Michelle Lynn and Tracy Connell, are all cut from the same cloth. They just love our design community. Clearly, I love everything about Ronica's mentorship programs. and the impact that it has on emerging design professionals who so desperately need some behind-the-scenes intel on the business of design. I also love some of the other nuggets of advice that she shared during our conversation. Her perspective on outsourcing is one that I think many of you can benefit from and relate to. Just because you can do it all doesn't mean you should do it all. Not to mention, there's an entire community of resources out there to support us as design professionals. So let's support them back. Remember, this business is all about balance. And if you take on too much, then something will be compromised. And it's usually the creative aspect, the one thing that sparked the fire in us to pursue design in the first place. I hope this episode has inspired you to reach out and adopt an emerging design professional and share all of the good stuff with them. You know, the stuff they don't teach you in design school. I challenge you to be the mentor that you wish you either had or you were when you first started your design career. We're collecting rave reviews for 2021, so take a moment to rate us on iTunes and tell us why you love Design Biz Survival Guide. We also love your suggestions and feedback, so go ahead, DM us on Instagram or email me direct at rick@designbizsurvivalguide.com. Thanks everyone, and until next time, be safe, be kind, and get out there and inspire.